Church, we are very well, very blessed to have and to receive in our midst Dr. George Malek. Dr. George Malek, you're welcome to walk forward while I talk about you, Dr. Malek. If you were to walk as long as we can talk from you, you would walk from home in Somerset West. But Dr. Malek is known to many of you, but I'm not going to introduce him for the great academic that he is, for the two doctor's degrees that he has, and for many places of ministry that he's been. I'm going to welcome to the pulpit as a father and the spirit tonight, as a man who loves God, and as a father to many pastors. And Dr. Malek, I really honor you, and I receive you, we receive you, for the man for who you are, as a man who loves God with all his mind and with all his heart. And a man who has devoted himself to serve your church all over the world. So let's just put our hands together and welcome Dr. Malek.
There is no man that is living on the face of the earth that deserves the welcome he gets in the house of God. Only our Lord Jesus Christ deserves that welcome. We are sinners, live redeemed by the blood of Christ. I stand of you not as an expert, but a voice that tries to speak of the need of Jesus. Especially to myself. Graduates, I will summarize what I want to tell you, both from the University of Stellenbosch and from the Bible School of Shofar. When I was flying to the United States of America not long ago, in fact about 4 weeks ago, it was very, very easy to get to England. But it was not easy to get to the United States of America. The incredible security that you have to go through to enter the United States of America is incredible these days. The world is so interconnected that when I got on American Airlines, I don't know if what I read can be interpreted if it were an advertisement, as the stewardess said, or what I would think maybe it is and maybe it is not. I could not conjecture or think otherwise. But about 20 minutes in flight, I looked at the screen where you see TV movies, and the sentence came out, "We know why you fly." That's scary. I was quite curious, actually, and I was going to the bathroom, but I saw the sentence on everybody's seat. So I said, well, I'm glad I'm not the only one. Do you understand what I'm talking about? Living in this world. We know why you fly. But do you know why I live? In fact, you don't give a hoot. You get it? Jesus does. You might have a degree in medicine. You might help many and you might kill some. I know the field of medicine very well. Jesus desires no one to die. As sinful as we are, redeemed by the blood of Jesus, we live for others to know who Jesus is. And then you die and be received with the Lord. After that is a full stop where you will be raised with Christ. So study very, very, very hard. get your PhD and your DDS and your LLD, etc., etc. There will be a long sentence on your tombstone with a dash in between. That's long. You struggle in the world. Is it to get a job or is it to be with God? Did I summarize what I want to share with you of my philosophy of life? Does the world really know a Christian? You are sent into the world for what purpose? Does the world really, really know a Christian? One of the most wonderful, joyful things I enjoyed in my whole career in the ministry, which ministry is not a career by any way, it is by demand. When God gets hold of you, you have no other chance. Is 2 weeks ago when the launching of the Stellenbosch Institute of Theology was done. I wished you were there. Some of the greatest scholars were around from the world, and when you are with great scholars, you have to think and think deeply. And the summary of what I heard was that we have to be interconnected as a Christian community in the world in order for us to survive in this world. Certainly, that is why is the church. I praise God for creating the church, because without the church, we can't make it on our own. You can't. Or can we? Turn with me to the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew chapter 17. Sorry, 16. We heard from the great scholars at the launching of the preparations for the Institute of Theological Study, Stellenbosch Institute, of how we get formatted and get interconnected worldwide. And we all know that the world is so interconnected that it is incredible. I hear that with one click of 1/10 of a second on a computer, you have transacted billions and billions of dollars around the world. That's frightening. With one click, that much has happened around the world. With all that power, the world is in a financial mess. No telling. The more power we have, the more we are in a mess. I think I have summarized what I want to say. The more power the world has, the more we are in a mess. What does that mean? I can speak for hours, but I won't do that because you have to go to sleep. I looked at Christianity in a global sense before I was born again. And where was I born again? I was a delegate to the World Conference in Jerusalem in 2008. And it was a massive conference.
from all over the world, bishops, archbishops, etc., etc. And then we went to the sites of the Holy Land. We saw where Jesus walked. Of course, we were riding a bus. I've said enough. We all had cell phone except my cell phone. In fact, they didn't recognize it in the United States of America. They actually had no charger for it. And when we were in Jerusalem looking at one site to the other, and it took us quite a while to incredibly think that Jesus walked all this distance, he must have been a very, very persistent young man walking the face of this world. He preached to multitudes. He healed many. Then he asks the question. Matthew 16. Verse 13. When Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he began asking his disciples, saying, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" He had just healed so many. He had just fed so many. He had revealed himself to everybody. And what was the answer? And they said, some say John the Baptist, others Elijah, but still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. But he said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" What was the response? Peter said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And the answer came as straight as an arrow. "You don't know what you're saying, and you don't know me." In case you haven't interpreted the text correctly. It is not you who's speaking. You don't know where you are speaking. So the answer is, "You don't know me." And the answer was proved at the cross. "I don't know the man." Was Peter lying when he said, "I don't know the man"? I want you to answer, Bible scholars. Was Peter lying? "I did not know the man. I do not know the man." Did he know Jesus? Suddenly you are silent. Who's going to pass that one? Where is the first scholar in this class, Bible scholar? You see, the scripture is looked at from a completely different point of view than we naturally look at it. It's looked by an eye that the world doesn't look through. What was the answer? Did Peter know this man, Jesus? The answer is very clear. Really and truly, Peter did not lie, though he thought he is lying. He ate with him. He walked with him. Surely, this, you know him. "No, I don't." "You do know him." "I don't." "Yes, you do." And the cock, cuckoo, cuckoo. And was Peter lying? No, he was not lying, because in reality he did not know Jesus. That is the theological interpretation versus how the world interprets. You knew his address, you walked with him, you did know everything about him, but you really didn't know him. Do you understand? "I don't know the man. I don't know the man." And suddenly Jesus found the reality of this world. He was alone. That is a frightening thought for God to find himself alone.
Sometimes we glibly look at the scripture, but in reality, God found himself alone. Do you know what a Christian is? I'm often tempted to call Fred May. I call him Pastor Fred, but I'm so often tempted to tell him Archbishop or you know, and if I told him that, I'm going to be reprimanded and I'm going to be taken to his office. I'm not going to see the end of it. Because he is truly, truly a humble man. I know Fred well. So in this conference of the initiation of the Institute of Theology, when we heard the great scholars coming from Washington D.C., Oxford University, Cambridge University, I mean you name it, telling us how to be interconnected, to be safe, to know how to make it in this world, to know how to plow through. Fred stood up. I don't know whether he knew what he was saying or not, but he was just saying it out of his heart. That's the nature of Fred. About his experience of finding somewhere in Jerusalem who was lost. She looked so bubbly and so wonderful, so cheerful, so crowdy. Do you understand? Fine in the crowd. Who was truly, truly alone in life, lost. And he took that person home. Those who are lost in the interconnectedness of this world are the ones who Jesus is looking for. Go ahead and search the internet. You will not find them. They fall from the cracks. You are to find. So as I viewed the drama of our Lord Jesus Christ, of how his life was in Jerusalem when I was in Jerusalem in 2008, we came to the Mount of Olives. I'm sure some of you and Sister Lucille has taken some of our people to Jerusalem this year, not long ago, about 4 or 5 weeks ago. And I stood at the Mount of Olives. And there I saw the whole drama of the world in 1 second, in a moment of an eye. On one side are the Muslims with the Dome of the Rock. On this side, the Christians, divided as they are, the Orthodox have a church and the Catholics have a church and the Protestants are trying to find a hole or a cave, etc., etc., etc. Do you understand what I'm saying? Christianity is represented on one side of Jerusalem, Islam is represented on the other side of Jerusalem, and suddenly the whole history of the world converged in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. The whole world was fighting over Jerusalem. Crusaders against Arabs, Christianity against Islam. And you can go and study in history of the church. And the Jews are wailing against the wall that is the bottom side where the Dome of the Rock is built. The foundation of the Dome of the Rock is where the temple was. And I asked the guide, when are the Jews going to build the temple? He said, a graduate of Cambridge University in archaeology of the New Testament.
Do you want a third world war to start? When will the Jews build the temple? Do you want a third world war to start? Who said religion is not important? Religion will destroy the economy of the world in no time, and you are not seeing it. So that the world has a certain look at religion, the power of God in this world can destroy us and can raise us to life. And suddenly I looked down in the middle of that valley and I saw some white tombs. And I asked the guide, and what are those white rocks and buildings or looked like on the ground there? He said, these are the Messianic Jews that are waiting for the resurrection. They were talking about what they see. I was talking about what you do not see. What is a Christian? Turn with me to the book of Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, that Paul wrote. Second book of Corinthians, chapter 4. Verse 16, 17, and 18. Therefore we do not lose heart, but though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. For momentarily, light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. While we look not at things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. You got a degree from Stellenbosch? Bloemfontein competes with you. Many of you might have applied to Bloemfontein, so you got accepted the Stellenbosch. I don't know. Do you understand? But you cannot compete for heaven. There's no competition there. Do you understand? Do you understand the difference between the things that are seen and the things that are not seen? And people who are not seen among us, who remain in the grief and suffering, trying to find a way, are the ones that fall in the crack. And that was exactly the ministry of Jesus, if I understand anything about it. A lame man that could not walk. A leopard man who was avoided. And a blind man who could not see. Which computer will have mercy on that? Which country would have mercy on that? Which government system would have mercy on that? You will be washed in the crowd. And Jesus picked them one by one. I was born again in Jerusalem. Suddenly my love for Israel and for the Jews became eternal in my heart. For whoever loves the people of God will see God. Some priest, about 3 weeks or 4 weeks ago, wrote in the newspaper, or it was actually on the internet worldwide, that the Jews are not really the children of God. That was, it's finished. Now, everybody is the children of God.
I find that incredible. We certainly are all the children of Adam and Eve. But is the covenant with those who reject God and reject His people? I'm not going to answer the question. Search the internet for it. The things that are not seen are the things you search for. Last night, I had an incredible traumatic experience. A very traumatic one. Vika, my secretary, she's sitting in your midst. She works in the museums of South Africa. I think she is responsible for the Dutch heritage in the museum. I don't know what she does over there. And she found out that in the castle, you might have heard about it, was a very big gathering about the military service. It was a very big occasion where the Minister of Defense was to be honored, and there was a very big show about the army and the police and the army from Natal and the army from here and from there. It was a very big program. It took 2 hours. The security was tight, and nobody could leave the castle, even though I was very, very tired, and I caught a cold because of it. And you couldn't leave the castle because of security until it's finished. And we saw an incredible show. It's a show of strength with cannons, and it was very impressive. You know what I mean? And people clapping and just having a great deal of fun. And the Minister of Health stood always and greeted them and for the performances, etc., etc. It was a great performance. I don't think you've heard me. It was a great performance. And the people were cheering after one regiment after the other. And then there was a scene, an act scene. It was a very well rehearsed and performed scene. That's for you, medical students. Of a unit in the army is the medical unit, the medic cadets. How they rescue the wounded. And what I saw was incredible. The regime and the discipline was so strong that before they come to the body, they have to turn around, they have to, I don't know, all kind of things. But then the guy is dead already. But they had to follow the rule. Do you understand what I'm saying? I mean, this one has to go this way, and this one has to go this way. Everybody has to carry the guy. I mean, pick the guy up. He's dying. No, you have to perform your duty. I found it incredible. That's not what I'm talking about. And I saw this incredible scene of how people get shot. It was all fake, of course. How people were shot, they die, and they get injured. And the medics run in the field, unprotected themselves, with the infantry, and try to pull them back under cover. Under cover means just put your head down, and try to treat them and pull them out of war zones. And people were clapping, and people were just great performance. In silence, I wept. How How many people gather in church? With this massive crowd gathering to see and clap how people fall to die. What was I seeing? I think I was looking through the eyes of Jesus. While we are standing and cheering the performances of this world, Jesus is looking and weeping at the fallen. And you know what pierced my heart more than anybody else? I'm sure these were dud bullets. You know, you shoot them, they have sound. But the shell falls on the ground. Do you know what actually pierced me to no end? All the children came down after the whole show was finished, running after these dud things to take them for souvenirs. Do you get the picture? Jesus was looking at the duds. We were looking at the performances in this world. While the medics finish, Jesus stands in the field and weeps. So I was born again because of the suffering of the guy who finds himself, of the God who finds himself alone. And if the gospel tells me anything, it is finding those who are suffering, who are alone. Not the ones that can run with the show. I hope I have made myself clear. And you see them in seclusion because they cannot talk to anybody. May God help the church to open her eyes to see Jesus. Amen.